Good morning. We're taking Chayodim, Klal Nun Gimel. We're learning Siman Tes. So we need to explain the next part of the Chayodim. We need to explain the concept known as Bishul Akum. So the Chazal put in place many takanas to keep a distance between the Jews and the non-Jews. So even if we're dealing with items which would be food items, many ways people connect is over food. So Chazal put together a significant amount of limitations on sharing food with non-Jews. And this is irregardless of any concern about the possibility of being not kosher. There's no concern about being not kosher. There's no not kosher ingredients available. The person is using kalim of a Jew to make it, so there's nothing absorbed inside the kli. So we're confident that there's not a question of kosher. We still have a problem that we cannot consume items which are made by a goy, because if we can, they would end up eating together, creating a connection, and there's a concern about intermarriage down the road. So Chazal put many things into place to prevent that. One of them is a limitation on using non-Jewish bread. There was even a limitation using oil from a non-Jew, which was actually rescinded. There was a tekana called Bishul Akum, something which is cooked by a goy. So the Jew cannot eat it, something which is cooked by the goy. So the Jew cannot eat it. Not only the Jew cannot eat it, but it's considered non-kosher to the point that if the goy cooks something in the pot, so the pot needs to be kosher before a Jew can use it. But Chazal came along and said this is only something which there's a significant benefit from the act of cooking that the goy is doing. For the Jew, that's what they ushered it. So, and it has to be something significant. So if it's something which can be edible raw, so the cooking doesn't really benefit you that much. So that in that case, they did not answer a Jew from benefiting from the Bishul Akum. If something which can only be eaten cooked, it cannot be eaten raw, and the goy cooked it, he's benefiting the Jew. That connects, that was something which Chazal were concerned about, a connection, and therefore it's a problem. Further, it has to be something which is Olo Shulchan Malachim, that people will use it in a kosher type of a meal. There's a discussion what the definition of Shulchan Malachim means. Many persons say it does not mean only the table of a king, because basically you would disqualify the vast majority of food, so what was the purpose of the whole tekana? You know, if 99% of the foods which are cooked by the goy, the Jew can eat, so why'd you make the tekana for? So it means it's something which would be used at a chashur, a type of a meal, at a Sheva Brachos, a Shabbos Surah, a type of a thing, as opposed to something which you would throw together for a quick breakfast, but you wouldn't serve it to any guests. So it doesn't create a kirva between the two parties when they give them something which is not so chashur. There's other criteria as well to define Bishul Akum, but that's the primary criteria which are relevant for Bishul Akum. So now the question over here is this: they would cook this zangavol in honey. Once it's dried, it's not edible, and if it's not edible, so it comes out the goy by cooking in the honey is making it edible. So would there be a concern of Bishul Akum that would make it also for the Jew to eat this cooked zangavol, which is cooked by a goy? Would that be a problem or not? So the Chayyim says it's not a problem. He says, "Afilu rukachay akum is mutter." Even if the goy was the one who made this merkachas, cooked this mixture, it's mutter. Shrei necholim chayim ayirei terubis sukker, because even though you can't eat ginger raw, there is a scenario where you could eat ginger raw. You take raw ginger, grind it up, and mix it with sugar, and you can eat it. So there is a way to eat ginger raw without cooking it. And since there is a way to eat ginger raw without cooking it, therefore the cooking is not of such benefit, and the Isser of Bishul Akum does not kick in. It only kicks in something which you do not have a way to eat it raw at all. But if you have a way to eat it raw, even through this, by adding other foods, Bishul Akum doesn't apply. So an example of this, for example, would be cranberries. Cranberries are very sour, and you can't eat cranberries raw. So if a goy cooks cranberries, you would have a problem with Bishul Akum and cooked cranberries, which is the standard way of doing it. So this was a problem which came up, but as of the last X amount of years, when somebody introduced something called craisins into the market, which were dried cranberries with sugar, and then you dry them like you dry raisins, they're not cooked, and you would dry them together with sugar, and now they made them edible raw together with the sugar component. So that's this idea that the Chayyim is saying. So you have a way to eat it raw with sugar, and there's no longer a concern of Bishul Akum on the cooked cranberries. Al-Bashar Komini Paris, Oyurakis. V'chein olev rodin kol shen roi lechol chai asuchai bishlan rekocha achem asur mishim bishliyakim. So the Chayyim says other items which you have no way to make them edible raw. So then the goy cooks them and makes them edible. So there would be a concern of bishlakim on those items. I may want to talk a little bit more about bishlakim in the next year, just to clarify a few points more about bishlakim that people wonder about. And meanwhile, we will start the shiur here and have a good day.